Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to rejoice in all that you've done for us. This opportunity to open up your word and to just delve in. And we just pray, Lord, that you would speak to us today. And we invite you, Holy Spirit, Spirit of the living God, just move in our lives, transform us into the people you want us to be. And may we get a fresh revelation of who you are and what you've done for us, and transform our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. It's not yet been done today, but I'm going to do it anyway. You know, so a little bit of my, CV background. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Come on. It's got to be done. So today, I want to explore this whole area of Resurrection Sunday, but I'm going to do it slightly differently. People quite often start off with the texts in the Gospels of Jesus dying on the cross and then going into the crucifixion and then into the resurrection. But today, I'm wanting to look at hands. Anything strange? But today, I'm going to be looking at hands. Hands in the Bible. The hands appear a lot. But first of all, I want to put three images onto the screen for us to get a sense of imagery and how things can relate. So first one, please. Anybody recognize this one? All of those Scots among us will be able to actually declare all of it, because this is the best moment in the life of a Scottishman. Maradona. The hand of God. Cutting into the hearts of the Englishman. The hand of God. Next one. How about this? The hand of God, this was called. Partway through an actual operation on a mother, a baby's hand taking hold of the consultant's finger out of the mother's womb. Wow. Labeled the hand of God. Next one, please. More famous one. The hand of God. And that is what we're going to be looking at. The hand of God. Do you know, the hand of God was there right at the beginning. And it's an imagery that we see of God's power and influence at work in our lives. The power and influence of God. Him getting close and personal. And in Isaiah 48:13, we read, my own hand, this is God speaking, my own hand laid the foundations of the earth, and my right hand spread out the heavens. When I summon them, they all stand up together. Wow. The hand of God at the place of creation, creating. Isaiah 64, verse 8, yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Amazing that, isn't it? That image of the potter and the clay, of molding us and making us. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11 says, he has made everything beautiful. It doesn't say he has made some things or some people, but not other people. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Wow. God created, and he said, it is good. He created everything good and beautiful. God's hands are pure, are sinless, are perfect hands of creation. And he made you, and he made me in his image. Wow. But then we have, moving from the hands of creation, we have the hands of humanity. The hands of people in the world are sinful hands. Blood is on our hands through hate, through greed, through envy, through pride, and the list just goes on and on and on, doesn't it? It says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God sought to give the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, a guiding hand. But when Adam and Eve sinned, they took the law into their own hands rather than live as God intended. Guess what? We've carried it on. It's continued from that point onwards of, it is my right to do what I want. It's my right to live life my way. We have taken away from God and removed ourselves from his guiding hand, his perfect hand, his present loving hands, to take it in our life into our own hands. We've grasped it from God and we live it our way now. We became enemies of God, and those who sit with sinful hands cannot go to heaven. As we read in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. How could God hand us his love when we turned our hands against him? I'm using a lot of hands here, aren't I? Did God, as a result of all this, throw up his hands? There you are. Because the situation seemed helpless and hopeless. No, he didn't. He didn't say, oh, I've had enough of them. Did he instead force his hand on us to control us and to make us change and take away our free will? He didn't. Because he loved us so much. And he doesn't want to force us, because that is not love. Control, manipulation is not love. Even though it pained God so much, he held back his hand because he loved us that much. But he had a plan written in his own hand, by one other hand. The hands of God. On one hand, God hates sin, and as a holy God must act with justice and condemn those who sin. He isn't soft with sin. Sin is rebellion against him. Sin is saying, I will do things my way rather than God's way. Simple as that. And when we do that, we put a barrier between us and God. So on the hand, we're in this sense. But on the other hand, God loves you and me and wants to save us from the mess we've made and from the mess that we've entered into, which causes us to now live under the power of Satan himself. Because we've given our rights to the enemy. we've given access to the enemy, for the enemy to start influencing our lives. And what's the result? You know, separation. You know, I said to Jan, you know, it's going to be a bit one of those hell fire and brimstone, turn or burn you sinners type thing. But that's the reality, is if we have rejected God, he's not going to force us to live his way. He's not going to force us to accept him. And the consequence of that is death, is eternal separation from him. But that's where we move to Jesus. He comes into the story. And we start seeing the hands of Jesus. The great I am. God himself chose to step down from glory to have physical hands and feet and become one of us. The verse that passage that Ben read right at the beginning, Philippians 2, 6 to 7 says, though he was God, this is Jesus, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have beheld his glory. It says in John 1:14. It's not there, sorry, James. The hands of Jesus. And in that passage, John 1, it says, you know, the word was there at the beginning, and through him, the heavens themselves were created. The earth was created through the hands of Jesus. The word then became flesh and lived among us. So the hands of Jesus that created the world became the tiny hands like we saw formed in Mary's womb. Think of that image of those little fingers of a baby in the womb grasping out. Yet those same fingers made the heavens and the earth. Wow. He became human and lived among us. The rough, calloused hands of a village carpenter, working hands that shaped the timber and sanded the rough edges, are the same hands that want to shape and craft our lives today. The same hands that, as we can read in John 9, 5 to 6, that scooped up, well, actually, first of all, a bit disgusting, really, Jesus went, spat on the ground, and mixed it with some dust, and got some mud, and moulded some mud. And a man had come to him who was born blind. And I think he didn't even have eyes. And he took that mud and covered the man's eyes. I said, go and wash. The Creator God, Jesus himself, the Creator, the one who out of the dust made man and woman, took mud and made a man's eyes new for him to see. A man who was born blind in darkness could then see the great I am, the light of the world. The same hands which reached out to those shunned and considered unclean, those with leprosy, and touched them and said, I am willing, and brought healing and pronounced cleansing that they are now clean, and not only clean, but loved. These are the same hands that want to heal the wounded places in our lives. The same compassionate servant hands that washed his disciples' feet. And remember, not only the other 10 or the 11, but also the 12th, Judas, that he washed with his hands, the hands that flung stars into space, washed the grubby feet of Judas, who he knew was about to betray him. Are the same loving hands that also blessed and prayed for the little children and welcomed them. But what then happened? You know, he's loving, he's done all these things, but it didn't end there, did it? He wasn't just a good man who did good things. He was God himself, and he came into the world not just to serve, but also to save us. Jesus is God, and he had the same clean, sinless, pure hands of God. The Bible says in 1 John 3:5 that there is no sin in him. Why is this important? Because only clean, sinless hands can do what Jesus did for us. 1 Peter 1:19 to 20 says, it was the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. But now, in these last days, he has been revealed for your sake. He was our ransom, his perfect life for our broken lives. Isaiah 53:5-6 says, but he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sin of us all. So these hands again. When Jesus was crucified, his hands were then stretched out on the cross. They were hands that were pierced, that had nails driven through them. The hands of God nailed to the cross. Have you considered that? God on a cross. God died on a cross for you and for me. He paid it all for you and for me. Jesus knew firsthand what it was like to suffer and die. His final words on the cross were, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's Luke 23:34. Jesus came to forgive. What else did Jesus say? John 19:30, he said, it is finished. It is all done. That he has destroyed the work of the enemy. He's paid the price for our freedom, and we can't add anything to it. It is finished. It's not down to you. It never was down to you. You couldn't do it. You've never been able to do it. Neither have I. Jesus paid it all on the cross for you and for me. And Jesus then shouted, Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands. And with those words, he breathed his last. That's Luke 23:46. Jesus willingly gave his life. You know, Jesus chose it. It wasn't forced on him. Nobody took his life away from him. He had a choice. And as God, he chose to die for you and for me. John 10, verse 18, it says, Jesus said, "No one takes it from me," that's his life, "but I lay it down of my own accord." Wow. It wasn't a mistake. Jesus chose to die on the cross for you and for me. And he goes on to say, "I have authority to lay down my life, to lay it down, and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father." So not only did Jesus have authority and power to lay down his life for us, but he also had authority and power to take it up again, to rise from the dead and to defeat death itself. Don't know about you, but that is amazing. And do you know, when you look at that image of the cross, of the nails being driven through those hands and those feet, you know what it says in Isaiah 49, 16? It says that we are now engraved on the palms of God's hands. Wow. Because he took that on himself for us. So the hands of grace are the hands of God handing us his gift. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to earn it, and we don't deserve it. That's a nice song, isn't it, that one? The endless love of God. It's given to us by grace as a gift from his hand. The free gift of God is eternal, everlasting life. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." A gift is free to the one who receives it, but it costs the one who gives it. It cost Jesus his life. He gave it all. Now, eternal life is God's handiwork. Got to get the hands in again, you know. Wait for it. Handmade for you. And also, we were handpicked to receive it. Great for those, you know. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." This gift of grace is today being offered to each one of us. But it is only through responding in faith that we can receive it. See that? It is by faith that we receive it. So the final hands I'm going to talk about are the hands of faith. And the hands of faith are what we have if we choose to accept all he has for us. The hands of faith are hands reaching out to Jesus. I've got another one here. You know, faith is not a hand-me-down. It's also not second-hand. Faith is down to you. It's not down to your parents. It's not down to the country you're born in. It's not down to association. It's down to you. It's your choice. It's also something that God can't force you to take, because God is not into forcing your hand. He will not force you to take that step of reaching out in faith. Faith is something that comes from you. It's you taking that move to God. Faith is our choice. We have a free hand. God won't force our hand, as I said. Faith is getting our hands off the controls of our life and putting our lives into his hands. He will take you by the hand and lead you into an amazing adventure. Too many hands here. In fact, you can do this today if you want. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day when you can accept and reach out in faith and receive that all that Jesus has for you. But also, I want to ask you the question of, if you have done this in the past, how are you living your life today? It's not, oh, I made a commitment to Jesus back when I was, you know, a child or whenever. It's something that we reach out to. It's something that we receive and daily. It's something we live in daily. Are you living in the fullness of all God has for you today? Or have you taken back some control of your life? The question is, are you taking the hand of God and getting right with him? Are you putting your hands up and surrendering your lives to God? It's saying to him, here I am, Lord. Take me in your loving hands and lead me in all the amazing adventure you have for me. Let me live in the fullness of all you have for me. And I'm going to let go of my control. I'm going to let go and let you be Lord and God of my life. Do you want to do it today? And this isn't just about, as I say, asking him into your life. This is about actually hands off, letting him have total control of letting him be the center, letting him be Lord and God of every area of your life. Let's pray. So yes, Lord, we just thank you that you are the God of resurrection power. That you are the God who can take things that are in a tomb and bring it to life. That you declared before the tomb of Lazarus, you declared that I am the resurrection and the life. And Lord, we thank you that you are the resurrection and the life, and that you can bring resurrection and life into our lives today. And I just pray, Lord Jesus, that you would just move in your power in our lives, Lord. Help us to bow our knees before you today and help us to respond to your loving hands. To offer our lives to you with hands of faith and say, take me, use me, mold me and make me into who you want me to be. That you are the potter, I am the clay. And that you do make all things beautiful. Help us, Lord, to accept all that you have made us to be. And help us to live our lives in total surrender to you, with you being Lord and God of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.